Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, your words are words of life. And even when you speak of the cross, they're words of life, especially now, Lord. We understand that when you speak of the cross, you're speaking of life in a way that we still do not fully understand. Lord, we pray that you would show us the beauty of your way this morning, that we would take up our cross, that we would follow hard after you, and that you would be glorified in our lives, that we would receive the blessing and the love that you intend for us. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This time of year, it's a time of beginnings. And yesterday we were at Carthage College for my son Noah's commencement time. So we heard from people like the mayor of Kenosha. Never heard from him before because we're still relatively new to that side of Kenosha. We heard from the president and the new president of the college there. And everybody's about to like enter into this new thing. And this new president at Carthage, this new mayor in Kenosha, relatively new, he's returning. But and all these new students anticipating new things. They're getting oriented and embarking upon something new. And there's a lot of, I guess you could say, almost like a sense of nobility and a sense of promise and possibility that comes with that. And, you know, I'm 52 years old, and part of me actually feels a little bit cynical about all that stuff, even though I'm also, in many ways, an optimist. But I sit there in those things and I think, huh, is this really going to be any different than it was before? Is it going to get better? What is the way that's better? What's the way that's better? I mean, life actually is lots of ups and downs and lots of beginnings and endings. And man, I know that in my own life, I continually do things that kind of take me on the downturn. And is it going to be better now? I want to embark on something new that's better. And I think that's the question a lot of us face when we begin a new school year. We're about to embark on a new school year, but some of us are in the midst of a life transition, embarking on a new stage of life that's actually even more profound than a new school year. I don't know where you're at, but I feel like we're all in the midst of a transition of some sort. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about with the disciples, is a way of transition. A way of transition from an old way of life to a new way of life. And it's really encapsulated in something that we now call the cross. That is the way of transition in Jesus. It's the way of the cross. It's really shocking when you hear that the first time in the context in which it was first heard. The cross is not a way of life for the disciples. It's actually a way of death. There's a lot going on there. You know, in the world, we tend to have a solution that's based upon power. And a lot of times that power is in the form of knowledge. So I think about that when kids are off to school, like knowledge is power. Isn't that one of the sayings, right? The world constantly seeks it for power, like military power. Actually, we do that in our relationships too, by the way. We seek to have power to lord it over one another, don't we? Right? So when Jesus says, don't take vengeance, he's really saying, don't take up that kind of power. Leave that to the Lord, because a lot of times we get it wrong. The way of the world is just so different, the power way of the world. They're the ones that take up the cross and nail other people to it. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take up your cross. He is choosing his own cross as well. Think about this too in the context of Kenya this week. I don't know, it's hard to keep up with all the different kinds of news in the world, but I did happen to notice something, partly because I'm friends with a lot of our Kenyan brothers and sisters overseas on Facebook, and I heard that their elections, which they just held, were completely overturned by the Supreme Court. They're one of the strong African countries right now. I mean, they've had a lot of stability, and in some ways, many folks are interpreting this as, that's actually a good sign. You've got an independent branch of government, the Supreme Court saying the election was hacked, so we're going to do it again. Others are upset, though. It's like, what's really happening? And it's destabilizing. But my Christian brothers and friends are saying, the Lord is really in charge. I mean, in the world, we do have trouble, but the Lord's in charge. And we can trust ourselves to Him. His way is going to be different. We tend to think our security comes from things like power and all of its instruments in the government or the one powers that we exercise, right? But no, they're saying it's not. It's not. The Lord has a different way for us, right? So don't look to the things that are external. Look to the things that are internal. Don't look to the power of the world. Look to the way of love. So I'm seeing a lot of interesting messages. I thought about this week because at the end of our bulletin, there's this thing called the blessing, and we do it every single week since the beginning of Pentecost season. And we say all our problems, this life on earth, we send to the cross of Christ. All the difficulties of our circumstances, we send to the cross of Christ. The devil's works from his temporary power, we send to the cross of Christ. All these things that are about the world, the flesh, the devil, all the things that are messing with our heads and disturbing the peace. The Kenyans gave us that liturgy, and they're saying that that's really true. All the problems of this life, all the troubles that we have in this world, the ones of our own making, the ones that are imposed upon us, it doesn't matter where the source of the problem is coming from. It could be our own physical illness. It doesn't matter. The cross is the solution. The cross is the transition from that place of trouble and disturbance to the place of peace. In fact, when Jesus talks about his cross, by the way, I think it's almost every single instance. It might be every single instance. Whenever he talks about his cross and he's predicting it, Peter's taking him to task. So my assumption is like, yeah, I would be the same way. Like, Peter is saying, you know, we're getting a good thing going here. We're building up a movement. We're getting a lot of followers here. I just told you that you were the Messiah. You're the new king. You're the son of David. I just told you that. You even complimented me on that. You said there's no way you could know it unless the Father above had told you that. And so I don't want you to go to the cross. No way. That can't be. Because he's thinking just about, like, you can't go to the cross, you can't die. I mean, that's a horrible, horrible reality. No way. And he somehow passed over the fact that Jesus said, and 3 days later, he would rise again. The cross is a way of transition. And it is, I don't want to make light of the fact that it is sometimes a way of pain. It may not be the pain that you expect, but there is a pain that's involved in following Jesus a lot because there's so much arrayed against that way. Our own desire, right, gets twisted. Somebody else comes against us, and actually to be loving in the face of that is pain. The world oppresses us. Our body falls apart and is in pain. There is a dimension of pain that we have to admit. But Jesus says that that's not the problem. In fact, there's a huge problem if you avoid that, because in the world you have trouble. But I've overcome the world, and this is the way that I've overcome the world. It's through the cross, and it leads to resurrection. It leads to resurrection. So when Jesus actually says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," you know, the one who's opposing him, he's hindering him, using Peter this time as the mouthpiece, because Peter a moment ago had really been the mouthpiece of the Father's revelation. Now he's listening to the way of the world, the voice of the opposer. And what he's opposing is a way that goes from death to life, that goes from pain to healing. And so it's upsetting to Jesus that Peter's actually getting in the way of healing. It's actually getting in the way of hope. And so he rebukes him. You're setting your mind on not things of God, but your own solutions, ground level solutions, typical ways of thinking. And you're fixing your mind on it. You're, in a sense, you're being obsessed by it. I think that's how it is for us, right? We don't think that we're being obsessive, but we are. When we get fixed on a solution that we can, it's like within our arm's reach, or it's the same old of how the world tends to function, in a way, we're being obsessive. It actually takes a completely different orientation to think the way that Jesus is encouraging Peter to think. He's encouraging us to think. It's a very different orientation. It's so different that Jesus says something very shocking. Not only do I want you to get out of my way for the cross that the Lord's given me, the Father has given me to take up, and I'm taking it up. If you're really going to follow me, you take up your cross too. It's a different cross, but you take it up. If you really want to come after me, you need to take up a cross as well. It's a shocking thing to say too. So Jesus is showing us a way that he wants us to enter into. First of all, a way that he accomplishes that leads to our life and then enables us to enter into the same way so that we can share the same life with others. The same way of transitioning from the old pattern to the new way of life. A way of resurrection. One of the things I'm learning in this past year, again and again, is that my inclination is to avoid pain. I'll do anything I can to avoid pain. We're in the midst of, in our recovery group, we're in the midst of learning a lot about this, that the real pain of life is distortionary. Like, if you've ever known somebody who's living with continuous pain, it actually distorts your thinking. It's hard for you to remain present to what's really going on, to your own heart or to somebody else, because pain just distorts everything. And when you're in the midst of pain, there's not much you can do except to endure and find a way of getting capacity to endure. You need to be able to draw upon some form of life to endure that pain. Now, Jesus provides that way through his cross. But a lot of times I don't experience that provision of capacity for the pain that I have because I keep on avoiding the pain. And the way that I keep on avoiding it, we call this BEEPS is the acronym in our recovery group that we've been doing. And BEEPS just stands for a number of things. You can actually use anything to avoid pain. And so behaviors is the first thing. BEEPS is B-E-E-P-S. And a behavior, for instance. A lot of us do achievement-oriented things. Like, right, I'm going to get all A's. I'm going to make sure that I get all A's in school. That obsessively can become something you fix your mind on as a solution to your pain. Or experiences. You could even do like extreme sports, you know, or something like gambling. Extreme. Yeah, it's intense. Or you could do events as well. Or people even. You can even use other people to create a sense or a semblance of relief in your life. Or substances, it's very common as well. BEEPS. Does this, you know, any one of the above sound familiar to you? Is that something that you use to avoid pain? See, the problem with all of those things is that they really aren't solutions. They actually postpone the delivery from the problem. They actually postpone your deliverance through the problem, which only the cross can give us. That's the problem with all of these things, is that we stay stuck in unprocessed pain as a result. And so it continues to repeat itself again and again. And we're back in the same problem that Jesus is like, I don't want you to be hindered in this anymore. I want you to pass through this. I want to give you a transition through it. And so I want you to trust me in the pain, because I'm with you. And through the pain, because I'm with you. And I will never leave you alone in the midst of that pain. He has so much capacity for us in the midst of our pain. If we can connect with him, what's happened with the cross is that from this point forward, after the resurrection and after the coming of the Holy Spirit, from that point forward, the cross is no longer just about the torture of life or the trouble of life. It was an instrument of torture in that day, an instrument even of physical, emotional, social torture, humiliation, persecution, suffering, oppression, everything that's negative. That was what it symbolized to the disciples, which is why Peter's up in arms. And it still has a lot of those connotations because we experience those in little ways, I suppose, in different ways. Maybe some sort of thing that we've inherited. Maybe some sort of suffering that we're going through. And that's still part of it. But I think we forget that piece because we wear a cross as a jewelry item so often. We've completely domesticated it. And it's not to be domesticated. It's so intense. And it's intense because our problem is intense. Jesus is very realistic that you have a problem, and the problem of pain is a deep, serious problem. But I have a solution for you. And it's to be present in the midst of the pain to him who's already gone through it. But you can't be present to him who will take you through it if you're not also willing to trust him in the midst of it. Does that make sense? You tracking with what I'm saying there? We need to be present to him in the midst of the pain. It's hard. It's possible, though. It's possible by the Holy Spirit. It's possible because when you connect to God, anything is possible. You see this with Moses in the burning bush. I mean, it's not possible what he's seeing. There's a bush that's on fire. And fortunately, he's going about his daily activities, and he's not so caught up in his beeps, right, that he actually notices it. And it's on fire, but it's not burning up. So he takes some time to go see what it is. And basically God's saying, I've heard the pain of my people. I am hearing that cry, and I'm going to make you the means of their deliverance and take them through it. I'm going to give them a transition through it, out from that place in Egypt, out from their oppressors. And I am the one who will do it. I am. I will be with you, he says. I will be with you through that. The one who's the source of all being will be with you through that. I am will be with you through all of that. In fact, I'm the one who's been with you all along. He's really clear. His name is not just I am. It's I am the Father, the God of your father Abraham and of your father Isaac and of your father Jacob. I am the one who's been with you throughout every single moment. I don't want you ever to forget this. I am the one who's relating to you through your moments right now. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will take you through. And so when Jesus says, I want you to deny yourself, he's really saying, I want you to stop trying to avoid the pain, and I want you to stop trying to get pleasure on your own terms, and I want you to trust me through whatever difficulty you're going through. I don't want you to resource yourself any longer in the thinking of the world. He's been warning them about that. The bread of the Pharisees, I don't know if you remember that, right in the passage before this, the bread of the Pharisees is always saying, let's get some power going here. Hey, show us a sign. I want to see a demonstration of power. If we're going to believe in you, I want to see that. And he's saying, beware that leaven. Don't let that leaven infect your thinking. Don't let that start to control your thoughts so you set your mind on that. I would rather you set your mind on the things of God like you began to do a minute ago when you confessed that I was the Messiah, Peter. Set your mind on the things that are above. And the reason for it, if you'll just let go of your ruling of life and the way of the world, I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to be distributing glory. Like, I've come into glory now that he's resurrected. Jesus has come into that glory, and he's sharing it now through the Holy Spirit. It's like a distribution of glory for each and every one of us as we go through. It's a distribution of glory. It's an eternally endless supply of capacity for pain to be able to go through it, whatever it is for you. And so you can actually take up your cross. You can actually deny yourself, because the cross isn't just an entrance into pain. It's a passage through pain into a glory that we can hardly even imagine right now. What he's showing us is that the way the cross, Peter still had a hard time. I mean, he swung a sword later on. He still wasn't getting it. We're always wanting to go back to power, which creates problems and wounds other people. But what he's saying is that the way the cross, it's a weapon, really. It's actually a weapon that overcomes death and sin, all the things that have led us to trouble in the first place. It is a weapon of peace. It's a weapon of mass peace, even. It's an unconventional means of warfare. And he's saying, I'm giving this to you. I just want you to take up your cross. I want you to trust me in the midst of your cross, whatever it is. And whatever that is your call. You can trust me for it. I'm good for it. In fact, with me, that way is easy. That burden will be light. Because I'm with you. Why is it going to be easy and light? Because I'm going to be your capacity for it. We see this demonstrated, by the way, by Jesus on the cross. He had capacity for the pain that he endured. He was so filled with capacity through the Father that he's able to forgive the people who are hurting him in the moment that they're actually hurting him. That's how much capacity he had. He was so able to trust the Father that he was going to bring him through to that place of glory that he could think about Mary, his mother, and provide for her. John, who's standing at the foot of the cross, he's thinking of other people. He has so much capacity, drawing from the Father, who's never left him, he says that. And it's the same kind of capacity that he would offer to you. I want to pray. Jesus, what I'm saying today, what you've been saying to us since this teaching of the disciples long ago is to take up the cross. It's an overwhelming thought, Lord. Because our culture says it's better to take a shortcut and to avoid all of that. And yet, Lord, I know that you're speaking to many of us. You're speaking to us to cease and desist from using the ways of defending against pain and to come back to trusting you again. Lord Jesus, we know that your way of the cross is a way of love. It is a weapon of mass peace. It's a way of taking us through the worst forms of loneliness and abandonment and suffering and of hopelessness, of taking us through all of that and pulling us through all of it. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would today find a way to cling to your cross and to cleave to you, to let go of all the other things that we've attempted to use for our salvation. Lord, we need your help desperately, and we confess that we need it even now. Lord, if we're in the midst of pain, we especially need immense capacity that we would be able to endure graciously as you did upon the cross, that we would discover that even our crosses are easy and our burdens are light because you were there for us. Lord Jesus, you will feed us today, your body and your blood, that we can be even strengthened through that. Lord, let us walk forth from our worship today, having encountered you, having that as our sign that you truly are with us, that we can endure the pain of our crosses and take them up and follow you to the glory of your name. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.